Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Rebecca Driver. I'm one of the directors at Colchester and Ipswich Hospitals, East Suffolk and North Essex Foundation Trust. And we're here today to talk to you about our planned public consultation about a planned elective orthopaedic centre that we'd like to build at Colchester Hospital. Thank you all very much for coming. We want to hear what you think about our proposals, so that's why we're talking to you today. As I was just saying to a couple of members of the audience, as often is the case, there aren't a lot of people here because obviously we've heard that people are very excited about this development locally, but we're still going to run through the format of the afternoon as we would normally expect to, but slightly more informally than maybe we would have done if we had 50 odd people here. So I hope that's okay. We've got 11 of these meetings happening across North Essex and across Ipswich and East Suffolk. So we know already that there's a lot of interest in our proposal. So just for the agenda for the meeting today, I'm going to introduce the panel in a little minute, and then I'll do a little bit of housekeeping, and I'll ask Dr. Shane Gordon to give a presentation. And then we will be able to take some questions from the audience. So I hope that's what you were expecting and that's what you will see today. My job is to be your facilitator for today. So I will be asking you to direct questions through me, and then hopefully we can make sure that the right member of the panel gives you the answer that you need. So without further ado, I'm going to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves, starting with Dr. Gordon.
Hi, I'm Shane Gordon. I'm Director of Strategy for the Trust that runs Colchester and Ipswich Hospitals, and I'm a GP by background.
Hi everyone, my name is Ed Garrett. I'm the Chief Executive of the Clinical Commissioning Groups in North East Essex and in Suffolk.
My name is Kay Hamilton. I'm the Associate Director of Nursing for Musculoskeletal Services at ESNEF, so Ipswich and Colchester Hospital. And the name suggests I am a nurse by background.
And I'm Crawford Jamieson. I'm the medical director at Ipswich and Colchester, and I'm a consultant physician doing sessions at Colchester Hospital and a few at Ipswich Hospital.
Thank you very much. So we've got a great panel, so hopefully you'll have some good questions for them. Just a few housekeeping bits and pieces. There aren't any fire alarms planned, so if it does go off, it's real, and there's a fire exit right but directly behind you and to my left. We have got a hearing loop as well. All you need to do is switch it to T. Please turn your mobile phones off. That's as much to the panel as it is to all of you. Someone always forgets. We are recording this meeting, as I mentioned at the beginning, so we will be able to put every single one of our public meetings, the recording on the website, to make it as accessible to everybody. And we will be posting some of the questions that were asked on social media, so look out for that. I'd rather you didn't film the event. It doesn't look to me like any of you are planning to, but it has happened before, so I'd like to ask you not to, because obviously there may be some people who aren't happy about that. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Dr. Gordon if he can present to us the details of the proposals that we have before you. If I could ask you not to interrupt his presentation and let it run, and then we'll take the questions at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, and it's lovely to see everybody this afternoon. So I'm going to run through the details of the proposal before we move on to your questions. So we're talking about the proposal to build a centre for orthopaedic planned surgery at Colchester Hospital. Sometimes we call planned surgery elective surgery. It just means the opposite of emergency surgery, really. So the context of this plan is that we have as an integrated care system between Suffolk and North East Essex successfully bid for nearly £70 million worth of capital investment from central government. And that capital investment is to do two things, really. The first is to improve urgent and emergency care at both hospitals. A lot of that investment is going into the Ipswich Hospital end, and that includes some new MRI and CT scanners there, a new emergency department at Ipswich because it's quite cramped there compared to Colchester at the moment. The construction of an urgent treatment centre at the Ipswich Hospital. There is one already open at Colchester Hospital, which was funded in a different way and therefore arrived somewhat sooner. And the expansion of some of the specialist assessment units at both hospitals. So if you've gone through A&E, or the emergency department as we tend to call it, and you need to see a specialist physician like Crawford or a surgeon, the best and quickest and most efficient way of doing that is to move you through into a specialty assessment unit where that can be done quickly. So we're intending to expand those at both sites. And also some relatively small changes to the layout of the emergency department at Colchester Hospital. But the bit we're talking about today is the second part of that investment, which is the investment in planned care on the Colchester site. So there are two parts to that that the funding was given for. The first is for an elective centre focused on orthopaedic surgery, which will cover the population served by both our hospitals, and also particularly the day surgery services at the Colchester site, which are very much in need of replacement. They are past their sell-by date and really need to be modernised. So both those things have got to be achieved with the part of the money that's allocated for planned care. So the elective centre itself for orthopaedics will be at least 48 new inpatient beds, and they will be built to the latest standards required of hospital buildings, which are much more spacious than the facilities we have in any of our wards at the moment. So at least half of those beds will have to be single ensuite rooms, and the bays for the remainder of the beds will have only four beds in them in the space that we currently have six beds in the rest of our estate. So there'll be much more comfortable accommodation for patients and for visiting relatives. And the larger space around the beds allows for a few improvements in the way we deliver care as well, particularly things like rehabilitation at the bedside, rather than having to take people away from their bed just to do their therapy for rehabilitation. We can actually do that at the bedside, and that encourages people to get up and about more quickly after the surgery, which is a benefit. It also creates space if visiting relatives needed to stay with a patient. It's possible, particularly in the ensuite rooms, to put up a camp bed, for example. It also improves our ability to control infections, because people are that much further away from each other in the wards, there's less likelihood of people becoming infected by another patient. And it also includes at least five, but up to six new operating theatres built again to the latest standards, which are termed ultra clean operating theatres, which are what we need to do this complex orthopaedic surgery these days. And the centre itself will focus on a range of orthopaedic procedures, but the ones that people might be most familiar with is things like hip replacement and knee replacement. But also we're seeing an increasing number of patients needing a revision of their previous surgery because the new joint that they've had has worn out. So that will become an increasing part of the work over time. We think it's really important for our patients for a number of reasons. I think the highest one is the reduction in the risk of having your operation cancelled, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. We think the centre will also, over time, reduce the length of time people wait to have their surgery, principally because we're reducing the number of cancellations. And will also reduce the length of time people need to stay in hospital after surgery. And that has been coming down over the last 20 years or so fairly steadily. So when I did my orthopaedic training 20 years ago, people were staying upwards of a week, often for 10 days, and the average is now 3 days. So we expect that trend to continue by the modern practices that we will be able to perform in this new centre. We also think that clinical outcomes will be very good because the centre will focus on a smaller range of procedures, and like anything, the more you practice it, the better you get. So that's not to say that our outcomes are bad at the moment. So at both hospitals, they are very good clinical outcomes compared to other units in the country. But with a fantastic new centre like this, we think they will continue to be good, if not even better. Of course, that environment that I spoke about earlier, the space for patients and relatives and staff, will improve the experience of being in the hospital. One of the really important benefits is that by creating this new space at Colchester Hospital, it will free up space in both hospitals to improve other services that need better accommodation at the moment. So it isn't just orthopaedics that will benefit. I think particularly importantly at Ipswich Hospital, it will give more space for trauma surgery, and that's the same for theatre space at Colchester Hospital as well. A centre like this will be a real beacon of excellence for the area, and we think that will help us to retain and attract the best staff going forwards to come and work there. It'll be a really exciting place for people to work, and of course those people who come to do that sort of work will want to undertake research and bring innovations in practice with them. So why are we talking about Colchester Hospital particularly? Well, there are really three key reasons for that. The first is that when we looked at the options of where we could build a centre of this size, we could put it at Ipswich Hospital, but to do that we'd have to demolish something and then rebuild that somewhere else on the Ipswich site in order to make space for it. And that would consume a significant amount of money and not really give us any new benefit. Just re-provide something we've got already. And when we looked at those options with the budget that we've got available, they simply didn't allow us to do all the things we need. Only the Colchester site allowed us to do that. The second is we've also got to provide new day surgery facilities at Colchester within this budget. If we put the centre at Ipswich, we have to build a brand new day surgery centre at Colchester, which is much more expensive than the option we've got at Colchester, where we build the new elective centre and some of the services move out of the constable wing of Colchester into that elective centre, and we can then use the space in constable wing as the new day surgery unit. And that gives us a lower cost option to do that, and then it becomes affordable. And then finally, and perhaps a little bit more subtle, is the fact that there are very, very slightly more people from the Colchester Hospital catchment area who need this surgery at the moment than there are from Ipswich. It's very slight, it's in the order of 1 or 2% difference. But over the next 20 years, the population around Colchester Hospital will grow much, much faster than the population around Ipswich. And therefore, in 20 years' time, our detailed modelling suggests that there will be significantly more people from around the Colchester Hospital needing this kind of surgery. So if we want to put the centre in a location that means the fewest people have to travel further for their care, we put it at Colchester Hospital. So in terms of where it would go on the Colchester site, it may not project brilliantly here, but this is the Colchester Hospital site. This is the northern approach road with the football stadium and the A12 somewhere up here. What we are hoping to do with the support of our local government colleagues is put a new entrance to the hospital site off the northern approach road directly next to this new centre. The centre itself will be physically slightly separate from the main block in the hospital, which will help us to avoid emergency patients being placed in the centre. But it's close enough if you need the support of other medical specialties, if there were a rare complication, for example, that you can get access to that care reasonably easily. There's a lot of things that wouldn't change. So we would expect for all patients that they would continue to have the majority of their contact with the hospitals at their local hospital. So if you're an Ipswich patient and the centre is at Colchester, you'd still have all of your outpatient care, your diagnostic tests, x-rays, scans and whatnot, and your preoperative assessments at the Ipswich Hospital. And it would only be for the surgery itself that you would come down to Colchester. Ipswich will still provide a lot of other orthopaedic services that it already has, including the Regional Specialist Centre for Spinal Surgery. Day surgery would stay where it is at Ipswich and Colchester, and emergency orthopaedic surgery would still be provided at both hospitals. Follow-up appointments would remain at your local hospital. And if you see a consultant at Ipswich or at Colchester, it will be that same consultant and their team that will undertake your surgery at the centre. So the only things that change really are the inpatient surgery location moves to the centre, and your length of stay will be 3 or 4 days on average. We also think we can use the new centre as a way of changing the entire care pathway to reduce the total number of visits that people need to make to the hospital during their pathway of care, and I'll talk more about that in a second. And critically, we think it will reduce the risk of being cancelled when you've booked your operation. So the current pathway of care, right the way from when your GP refers you to when you're discharged at the end of the pathway, can be quite long, and there can be a lot of visits in there. So our patients at the moment have up to 6 visits to the hospital before they get their surgery. Now that does vary a little between different surgical teams and between the two sites, but it's still quite a lot of to-ing and fro-ing before you get to have your operation. When you do come for surgery at the local hospital, at the moment, there's about a 1 in 3 chance that once you think you've got your date for surgery booked, that one of our team will have to call you up before that operation and say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to rebook. So you might have organised your life, your pets, your family around that operation date, and then there's a 1 in 3 chance that we'll ring up and cancel that date. And obviously that's very disruptive to your life if that happens. But it also causes a problem with the waiting list, which I'll say more about in a minute, because every time we cancel and have to rebook a patient, we push everybody on the waiting list back. So that causes quite a lot of disruption. And of course that rate of cancellation can be higher in the winter because the things that lead to cancellations are emergency patients needing the beds that we would hope to put our planned care patients in. After the surgery, there are again 4 to 6 further visits for follow-up and rehabilitation. So you can see there's quite a lot of visits involved, and that takes up a lot of time and travelling as well. So we think we can make that better. Talking about cancellations, particularly looking, this would be similar looking at both sites, but we've used Ipswich as an example here. So at the moment, the cancellation rate in the last year was 27%, just under 1 in 3 people. And that meant that we didn't do as many operations electively as we would hope to do. So over the last 5 years, the number of inpatient procedures that we're actually doing has gone down by nearly a quarter. The waiting times for surgery have got longer, so at the moment our patients are waiting 6 weeks longer than the national average for their surgery, and that's partly because of all these cancellations. And there are an unacceptably high number of patients now waiting over a year for surgery. And that also shows in the waiting list, which has grown by nearly 50% in the last year. And I've explained the reasons for most of those cancellations are the beds are being used by emergency patients. So the bottom line is we need more capacity to undertake planned surgery. So what we'd hope would happen in the future is that you would have to come fewer times to the hospital. We would have more one-stop clinics where you would have your diagnostic tests, your scans, your blood tests, etc., and see the surgeon on the same day, and they could decide with you whether or not you might need surgery. There might be special clinics for more complex patients combined with some of our anaesthetists or our medical specialists like cardiologists who would be able to assess your risk for surgery on the same day. You would then have planned surgery at the centre with your consultant that you saw in the outpatient clinic, and then all your rehabilitation would be local. And for many of our patients, we expect that that would mean that they would have their rehabilitation in a community hospital, or perhaps for some of them, even at home. And you'd only be followed up if you absolutely needed it, because many patients recover very well after this surgery. So a shorter pathway overall. How many people would be affected? Well, in the last year, 3,400 people needed this kind of surgery in our catchment area. About half of those come to the Ipswich Hospital at the moment, 1,400 people, who would have to change the location for the operation only if this centre is built at Colchester. And that translates to about 14 people in total needing surgery each day, and about half of those would be patients who would be coming further for their surgery than they would in the current arrangements. Over the next 20 years, the number of people needing surgery is going to grow by almost 1,000 people a year. So that's nearly a third more people needing treatment in 20 years' time. We're aware that there will be some impact on our staff. We've already been engaging our staff now for some time. But it's fair to say that the public consultation part of this process comes at quite an early stage in the development of our plans, and therefore there's going to be a lot more detailed planning and engagement with our staff over the next 18 months. So quite a lot of further work to do on the detail of exactly how the services will be provided, which of our staff it will affect. I think it's fair to say that at the moment I think the vast majority of our staff will continue to work where they're working now. So the consultation is a consultation on a single option for the reasons I've explained, that we didn't really have a viable option at a different location than Colchester. But we still really need your views on the impact of the proposals on you as either current or potential future patients or your family. And we particularly want your thoughts about transport to the new centre, because we think that's, in all of the engagement work that we've done over the last year, is the single commonest issue that people have raised. So if you have good ideas or particular concerns, we would really like to hear those, please. There is more information available through our website and through the CCG's website about this consultation, which include our assessments of travel and equality impact, a summary of the business case, and a report from the Clinical Senate, which is an independent body in each region of the country, that the one for the East of England have reviewed our proposals and given us some recommendations, but also very strongly supported these proposals. There will be 11 public meetings, of which this is the first, and the locations are shown there. I won't run through all of those. And for those of you that are on social media, there'll be some engagement events on social media planned. So in terms of timing at the moment, the consultation closes on the 1st of April. That's in a pre-election period for local government elections. So we won't be able to undertake any further public events during the remainder of that period until the elections are concluded on the 8th of May. There will then be a stakeholder decision-making workshop, probably in May or June, where we will bring together representatives of our local community as well as our clinical teams to look at the feedback from the public and to make a recommendation to the CCG governing bodies about what the decision on the consultation should be. Those CCG governing bodies will meet early in the summer to make a final decision on the outcome of the consultation. And if we are successful in being allowed to continue with the development of this plan, the detailed business cases will be worked up over the next 12 months following that decision. That means we don't award a contract to build the building until 2021-22 financial year, and the building will take a couple of years to build, meaning that it will open in 2024, which feels like quite a long way away to me anyway. So I'll stop there and hand back to Rebecca for comments and questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane. I hope that you found that interesting and informative, and it's now the most interesting part of the meeting for you and us, which is your opportunity to ask the panel questions. Just a few simple ground rules, just so it runs smoothly. If you could direct your question through to me, and then we'll make sure the right person on the panel answers. They may well, but not everybody will answer every question, because that would take quite a long time for all of you. So we'll try and pick the right person to answer the question, and if there's some more to add, then one of our panel members will add it. If you're happy to just pop your hand up, we'll come to you. My colleagues do have roving microphones, and if you wouldn't mind waiting for that to arrive, because that allows us to then record your questions, which is obviously really important. If you don't have a question but just want to make a statement about what's going on, then that's absolutely fine, but we won't obviously respond to you if you'd just like to make that statement. I cannot imagine this would happen, but for those of you who've been involved in public meetings before, please do respect the audience and let everyone have the chance to ask their question, and likewise respect the panel as they're feeding back. I can't imagine there will be any difficulties with that at all. If you aren't comfortable with asking your question today, again, if you just pop your hand up, one of my colleagues can maybe make a note of your question, and then I will ask it for you, because not everyone is comfortable in talking in this kind of scenario. And you can also respond, as Shane has said, through our public consultation document or online. So please do that anyway, but if that's the way you choose to do it, then please do so. Finally, I just wanted to say, if you have any personal questions about anything else to do with the NHS or healthcare, we'll all be staying on for a little while at the end of the meeting, and we'd be happy to talk to you about any of those issues. But we will today stick to the subject of the conversation, which is all about our new plans for the Orthopaedic Centre at Colchester Hospital. So without further ado, I'd like to invite our first question. Would anyone like to ask anything? Michael. I'll just wait for Luke to bring you a microphone. If you'd like to say who you are, please do so, but you don't have to.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Hawley, a resident of Wivenhoe and a public governor for the hospital. Closer, right. couple of things. One is that the presentation showed that you're probably going to open up a new road into the back of the unit. What about parking? If you're going to have 40 patients in there, that's quite a lot of cars, and Colchester is quite busy parking at the moment. Are there any plans for other things around the area?
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. Can I ask Shane to answer the question about access through the approach road and parking, please?
As you could see on the plan of the site, there is some space next to the centre which we will expect will provide some additional parking. It won't be hundreds of spaces, but it will be a few additional spaces, particularly for those who need disabled parking. One of the biggest pressures on the site at Colchester at the moment is staff parking, because we've freed up some of what was staff parking to allow more patients to park closer to our services. And we're in the process of building 160 additional spaces for staff at the moment. That's a multi-storey build that's ongoing at the moment. I think it's fair to say we've never been, I don't think any organisation is ever at the point where it has too many car parking spaces, because they always get filled. And the answer to parking is not always to build more car parking spaces. There are other routes into the hospital as well. Particularly next to that entrance, there is a park and ride bus stop from the park and ride services just by the football station. So there are a number of different ways in which people can access the site.
There will be a small amount of additional car parking space there.
Would you like to ask any more about parking? Or are there any similar issues linked to transport and parking? Because that is often a concern. Yes, ma'am.
Just hold it and speak, fine. Yes, you were asking particularly about transport issues. And I must say, I think the overall prospect of this is very exciting. But I can see that Ipswich and around could face really difficult problems with probably less for patients getting transported, but their visitors. And particularly since Ipswich, I think, has a lower economic threshold than we do. And, you know, there's no direct, they can get the train to Colchester, but, you know, then how do they get to the hospital?
Thank you very much. I think I'm going to ask Crawford Jameson, our medical director, to answer that, please, Crawford.
So you're absolutely right that the transport challenge is not just for our patients, but the relatives who might wish to visit their patients. We don't want people to be isolated from their relatives for a prolonged period of time. It's worth reflecting on the point that Shane made, that lengths of stay for elective orthopaedics are getting much shorter. So happily, the best situation is that you don't have to visit at all because your relative has recovered and come home. But you're quite right that if somebody were perhaps economically disadvantaged in a remote area of Suffolk, it might be a much harder journey for them to make up, particularly as we increasingly would be looking after frail patients who will have frail relatives. So deliberately, we have absolutely appreciated that transport is the biggest challenge in this. It's worth reflecting that we've got the concept here, which is what we're presenting to you today, but it isn't fully fleshed out, and it is vital that we consider the transport needs of both each individual patient and their personal circumstances and their relatives. So there will be much more to come on that, and I'm therefore not going to answer it in entirety because we haven't got the full plan, but I think the point you're making is absolutely hits the nail on the head as the most important bit of further work we have to do. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Ed to add something to that, if I may.
Yeah, so that was really helpful, Crawford, thank you. And it's an excellent question to ask. So there is a piece of work that we've launched with the Health Scrutiny Committees in Suffolk and Essex to look at community transport in relation to this initiative. But I think the other thing I wanted to add is Shane's point about the whole pathway of care. So we're looking at reducing the number of visits overall to hospital, so which I think will really help with the transport issue too. So I think we're very live to this. We haven't yet got the right answer, but it's one we're determined to answer for you.
Can Shane?
Yes, I think there are a number of potential solutions that we could have put in the consultation document, but I think it was important to us that we keep an open mind about how we can address these issues and that we want to understand more about what those issues are before we jump to offering a solution. So I think part of the work in that stakeholder group that I mentioned at the end of the consultation will be to consider all of those issues that have been raised and some of the outputs that we get from working with our health overview and scrutiny committees, because there are a number of players involved in getting people to their medical care, including the patient transport services, but also people who travel by public transport or under their own steam in their own cars. And I think that needs quite a lot of input into it to get the best answers out of it.
Thank you. And an additional comment from Crawford.
It was just a very brief comment, just to build on the point that Ed raised about our pathways. To be honest, we haven't got our pathways right in the past, and sometimes patients have had to come to the hospital more often than they needed to if we'd thought through things better. Now, that's a big disadvantage if you're already a long way from Colchester Hospital or from Ipswich Hospital. The new pathway will not only add visits only when we have to make them separate visits, so we'll try and minimise the visits to the hospital, and that will always be to your local hospital, not to the centre. So for the Ipswich patients, that will be to Ipswich. But even better, we're looking at care closer to home in every environment. So we'll want to be thinking of a physiotherapist or occupational therapist delivering care much closer or even in patients' homes. So although there will always be the additional travel to the elective care centre, all the other bits of travel we hope will streamline to be much more efficient than they are at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next question, please. Yes, Vicky?
Just wondered on that point whether you know of the routes or opportunities that might be available through the integrated care systems and CCGs to tackle some of the issues around transport. So I appreciate SNF's primary purpose is as a healthcare provider, not as a transport provider. And so, you know, what routes and opportunities do you have as an organisation to link into that bigger conversation about transport for the community?
Ed, could I ask you, thank you.
Yeah, of course. I think, again, it's a really excellent question. One of the things I've done from a commissioning perspective is invest heavily in community transport, both in Colchester and Tendring in the past year, because what struck me working in North Essex for the first time in over the last probably 15 months is actually a number of the communities are really quite isolated and the transport links aren't great in this part of the world. So that's gone down really well, investing in the community transport. And I think it may be something we need to do even more of going forward, especially in the context of Suffolk 2 in this proposal. So I think the take-home message which you've really given us is that this isn't just for the hospital trust to solve. This is a whole system issue, and it's why it's really important that the Commissioner and other partners are really part of this conversation. So it's one I'm very keen to move forward, and I'm very keen to invest potentially more in community transport here.
Shane, would you like to add something, please?
Thank you. So the working group with the Health Overview and Scrutiny Committees that Ed mentioned earlier, we are participating in that, and that group has commissioners of public transport from the local government partners in there, the community services commissioners, the patient transport services commissioners, and the hospital, as well as local elected representatives and contributions from the Health Watch organisations. So I think we've got ingredients in there about general public transport, about hospital transport services as they exist at the moment, about community voluntary transport, and then the views of the public in that mix as well. So I think that's a good starting point for integrating the offer across the system in the way that you're talking about.
I was wondering if I could ask Kay, maybe if you could comment on how carers experience transport into hospital and visiting relatives.
So I would probably say initially with regard to this particular proposal, and we've had early discussions with the service user groups at particularly at the Ipswich site, recognising the concerns that they might feel around this proposal. And surprisingly, perhaps, it was very well regarded and accepted. Looking at the benefits that this proposal would bring was very much regarded as something that was worthwhile, looking at that additional travel time and the perhaps potential inconvenience that might bring. So that was enormously reassuring, really, because the last thing we want to do is make what's a difficult process for people undergoing an elective procedure and their families. And as Shane described in the initial presentation, all of the arrangements that people make around that. So by and large, the patients have been enormously receptive around that and positive about taking that forward. With regard to the current patient transport that we offer, obviously, you know, has been well discussed already, those options are still available and there are others that are being explored. And we are just really keen to hear, rather than put forward our own proposals now, hear what those suggestions might be from patients and public. Another element that was alluded to within the presentation was around the accommodation that we'll have at the proposed site, and the options we will have there for actual stays for visitors of patients having their surgery there, whether that's because they have a known carer or because they have particular other health issues that they require support, or because of the difficulties with transport. So all of those are options in this improved environment.
Thank you. Our next question? Oh.
Can I just raise one comment just to build on what Kay's just said, which is all of those things are absolutely true and I'd absolutely stand by that. But it's worth us just reflecting at the moment on the really unacceptable situation that 3 out of 10 patients don't get their surgery at the day they've planned. And none of us would want to be having a business transaction which has a 30% chance of not happening when we planned it. And it's worth thinking that, of course, that doesn't just affect the patients, but their relatives who've maybe taken time off to look after them, have reorganised their lives and lots of other aspects. So it's absolutely right we get the transport correctly sorted and then we minimise that impact. But in effectively making cancellations a thing of the past, we also make a much lower disruption on people's lives.
Thank you, that's an important point. Right, to answer your question, excellent, thank you. Are there any other questions? Yes, please, madam. Thank you.
Thank you. So I didn't introduce myself before. My name is Elizabeth James, and I'm a Woodman Hoe resident. And thank you very much for responses regarding transport. And I hadn't at all expected a definitive answer to my question, but just to open up the discussion. Dr. Gordon mentioned staffing. In the presentation, you know, suggesting that this new resource could become a beacon and therefore attract the best staff and so forth, and I'm, you know, wouldn't doubt that that might well be the case. But I wonder two things: the funding that was mentioned, does that also pay for additional staffing? Because there must be additional staffing. The whole thing is going to grow; it's going to be a bigger outfit. And also because of the national shortage of nursing and indeed doctors, you know, how does that get?
Thank you. Yes, it's a really important question. I'll ask Shane to start on that one, please.
So the short answer about whether the money that's allocated funds staffing is no, that's to fund the building of the buildings. However, our commissioners pay for the level of activity that we would expect to see for our patients, and we negotiate that funding on an annual basis. So as the number of patients we treat grows, we agree with our commissioners what the level of activity is that we will require to do in the following year. So that's what pays for the staffing over the long term. We're very fortunate, Kevin might want to say more about this, that we don't seem to have a great deal of difficulty attracting staff to work in orthopaedics at the moment. We have very low vacancy rates in this specialty compared to other specialties in the Trust, and I think overall our vacancy rates are pretty low compared to the rest of the country. Want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, certainly. So from nursing teams, we currently have really low vacancy rate, as Shana said, around 2-3%. It's obviously variable, but on any given date. And we have a really low turnover rate for our staff as well. Again, average around 1% a month. So orthopaedics is a popular area to work. One of the things that I think will help retain and attract new staff to the orthopaedic work within the new centre is actually that stability and continuity that this service, this provision will offer. We've talked a lot around the potential for cancellation. Well, obviously that disrupts the patient's life. It also disrupts the staff's plan of work as well. And it can be enormously frustrating for a team who are highly trained individuals committed to delivering a service, and their planned day of work does not go to plan. And of course, they're put to good use and their skills are used elsewhere, but of course, it's a frustration to all concerned.
Can I just add a comment on the medical side? One of the important things about our plan, which is different to some elective care centres, is we see this as a real fulcrum for training and excellence. And that's not just about doctors, because giving good orthopaedic care is absolutely a team sport these days. So we want to continue to build on that excellence we already have in our nursing team, with our allied health professionals, with our pharmacists, our radiographers. There's a whole host of people who make successful orthopaedic surgery work well. And by having a centre which runs very smoothly, which has an excellent reputation for training. One of the key things is that we have a great team at the moment, but we want a team that's just as good in the years ahead to serve the people in Colchester and Ipswich. And it's a point too financially that you raise quite rightly. This doesn't include the revenue for staffing, but Kay is quite right. All of our colleagues are frustrated when they can't go ahead with the patient's operation. But in a way, we're spending 30% on staffing lists that don't happen, and that's not a good right way to run any business.
Thank you. There's some really important points there about how our day-to-day work in the hospital operates and how important this service might be for staff as well as for our patients and carers. Are there any other questions from members of the audience? Michael?
Thank you. Once the waiting list has been reduced dramatically, as we hope it will do, are we going to start marketing the surface to bring private work back into the hospital as a revenue fund for the hospital?
A good question. Shane, could you start, please? And then I'll move on to Crawford.
So I'll take that in a few parts, if that's okay. So at the present time, about just over 400 people each year in the Colchester area are receiving NHS treatment in a private hospital, because we don't have capacity to do them in our NHS hospital. And that's very good for the patients who get treated sooner than they would do otherwise, but it does mean that the money for that procedure goes into the private hospital rather than back into our NHS services. Those patients choose to go to that private hospital on the NHS, so we can't direct those patients automatically back into our services. But what I would hope is that with this fantastic new facility at Colchester Hospital, and hopefully shortening waiting times over time, people will make the choice to come back into our NHS care.
And I would absolutely agree with everything Shane has said there. I think for me, we would wish this to be a financially balanced model that gives great care to our patients with short waiting lists entirely through the NHS income that we have. And that's our statutory responsibility and our primary focus. If having done that, we can build additional capacity with no conflict on our delivery of NHS provision, we're not against looking at that, but I think that's got to be, let's have fantastic quality, low waiting lists and everything else correctly there first. And our business model is not reliant on doing any private practice through this. That is a possibility as a business venture, but it would be very clearly having an arm's length distance so that there is no conflict between that and the delivery of our NHS services, which is what matters to us all.
Thank you. Any other questions from the audience? Goodness, I think we may have exhausted them. Right, if you're certain there are no other questions, but obviously you can have an informal conversation with our panel, I'll bring the meeting to an end. Thank you all very much for coming. I think we've heard some really interesting comments about car parking. It was always going to come up first if we're talking about hospitals, and about transport and access for our patients, and most importantly obviously for their carers who want to visit them. But we've also heard about our staff and how they work and how this service may make orthopaedic surgery more accessible to some of our more vulnerable groups living in quite isolated communities in Essex and Ipswich. And finally, finishing off with just talking about that business model and what might happen with private patients. Do please, if I could encourage you, if you've got good things to say about the consultation, we'd like to hear that as well. So if you leave here thinking this is a great thing for the people of Wivenhoe, then please do submit your consultation response, because we would really like to hear those views as well. There is a sort of a way of things in Great Britain that we like to express our views if we're unhappy about them, but we tend to not shout about it quite so loudly when we think it's a good idea. So if you do think this is a good idea, or indeed you have some concerns, please share your views with us through the consultation. It is running, as Shane highlighted, to the 1st of April, so you've got a good 3 weeks more to let us hear your comments. And may I thank the panel for making themselves available today. This is I've left my phone on, so I'm going to ask Anna to turn it off. Yeah, there, I won't do that again, will I? Thought I'd turned it off. Can we thank the panel? You've had a great senior group here today talking to you. And thank you all for turning out on this quite chilly but sunny, nearly spring day. We really appreciate you making the time. So thank you very much. And as I say, do feel free to stay and ask questions if you'd like. I'll bring the meeting to a close now. Thank you.